Thank you for listening to the blog Music Art Culture. I am your host, Dominique, and today we are sitting down with Renee. He is bringing his artistic genius to the table with us, and we are going to talk music production, songwriting, and some of the other things that he chooses to share regarding his journey, and I think it'll be really inspirational. Make sure that you tell your friends and family to check it out and tune in. You can find the blog Music Art Culture on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so guess what? You can subscribe for free. Search the blog Music Art Culture, and you can also follow us on social media as well, on Instagram at Music Art Culture and on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. So, Renee, tell the people where to find you on social media.
Well, if the people want to find me on social media, they could find me at Serenade7 at SoundCloud.com, as well as my Instagram account. The title for my Instagram account is Soundscape85 at Instagram.com.
Perfect. All right. So everybody's got that down? Yes, yes, yes. So that's SoundCloud.
For SoundCloud, it's the title is, or I go under, Serenade7.
Serenade7.
At SoundCloud.com.
At SoundCloud.com.
And for Instagram, it's Soundscape.
Soundscape.
85.
85.
At Instagram.com.
At Instagram.com. Yes. But if they want to check out your music, they can hit you up on SoundCloud and listen to your sound, right?
Definitely.
That's what happens on SoundCloud. You hear new music. That's why we love that platform. You find a lot of indie artists, a lot of major artists that are now trying to enter into SoundCloud, and they're trying to compete with some of the indies that have really made it popular. So if you're looking for new music, make sure you check it out and you can listen to him, Sal. Keep listening to the blog Music Art Culture. We'll be right back and we'll jump into the interview. So we are back for the blog Music Art Culture, and we are here with Renee. Now, we want to get into this interview because we've known each other for quite some time, but we've never got the opportunity to sit down and actually talk. And when we did meet up recently, I was just like, wow, you know what? It seems like everything came together. Things were starting to collide, and I was really wanting to share, or should I say, very honored that you wanted to share your creative journey and just, you know, your journey in general to inspire people so that they're familiar with what it takes to stay consistent, inspired, and so they can also support what you're doing as an artist and get more familiar with you, because I love your sound. I've listened to some of your music on SoundCloud, and I think that it is very unique. It definitely has its own tone, its own style, its own presence. And that's great in the field of music because you want something that's different, that has its own identity. And that's something that everybody is really pushing for right now, how to be an individual. So, let's just jump in. So let's get more of an understanding of who Renee is creatively and, you know, where your story all began. So let's see, where are you from? Where do you consider your hometown to be?
Where I consider my hometown to be would be in North Hills, North Hills, California.
Okay. So have you always been a Cali boy, or?
Yes, I have always been a Cali boy. My folks came here from the Caribbean in the 70s, but you know, being an American boy, you know, in LA, I am a born and raised Californian LA boy.
Okay, so for people who don't know, Caribbean food is actually some of the best food around. So are we talking like cocoa bread and patties, or what are we talking about? Are we talking about plantains? What are we talking about? Fried plantains, for those who aren't familiar, you have to really know the culture, explore. There's lots of Caribbean food, but what are some of your favorite dishes?
Favorite Caribbean dishes, I say, there's this one meal I had last time I was in Barbados. It's named Cuckoo. It's like, sounds like cuckoo, like you're crazy, but it's actually a food. It's made out of cornmeal.
Okay.
It's kind of like cornmeal lumps. Besides that, saltfish.
Okay.
Saltfish, and this one more thing is called ducanut. It's I believe it's a mixture of potatoes, coconut, and I forgot the entirety of the recipe. But I have to ask one of my folks about that, but definitely the dish has a taste that is unforgettable.
So do you cook? You know, it's so funny. What, isn't Brianna from Barbados as well?
She is actually from Barbados.
Native
actually.
Barbadians. Yes. Okay. So do you know how to cook any of these favorite dishes, Renee, or you just partake at the table?
Yeah, I have to actually admit, I just partake at the table. I would
no shame in
try
that.
To invest some time into preparing these dishes, but I'm usually so busy with other things it actually takes away from me investing in my kitchen skills.
All right. So what school did you go to? Like high school, junior high?
Schools. I went to, for elementary, I went to Langdon Elementary School in North Hills, middle school, Sepulveda Middle School in North Hills, as well as James Monroe High School. That's actually in North Hills also.
Okay, very cool. So when you were in school, what were some of your favorite subjects? What inspired you to really stay connected to wanting to learn? Because everybody's different, right? Everybody's favorite subject isn't math and science. Mm-hmm. Now, personally, mine was like, you know, reading and writing. That was my thing. But everyone has their own strengths. What were yours?
My strengths were in school, I say basically it was art, science, and it was art, science, and Spanish class.
Very interesting. So language, science, and numbers, and you like to, it says a lot about your personality. So you like to explore, you like to learn, you're not afraid to think out of the box, right?
True.
I mean, learning a different language, that's a whole nother perspective. You have to understand like culture, how people think, how definitely. People communicate. So it definitely opens a different realm, and it shows like, you know, you are very multifaceted, which is pretty cool, you know?
Okay.
So, I don't know. Let me just throw a random one out there then. What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Why is purple your favorite color?
It just has always been my favorite color. From what I've learned, or from what I know anyway, is that purple has a duality to it. You know, purple's actually a mixture of red and blue. You know, sometimes at my mama's when I would be considered to be red, you know, or, you know, red, I'd say kind of like fiery, if not that blue, chill and relax, but then where I find myself most of the time is being, you
fire
know, in the middle, and that middle is a mixture of both, you know, that red and blue, which is purple.
I think that is so cool. Red and blue equals purple, especially in LA. Oh, purple is like, what, the color of royalty, right? Wealth and royalty, that's what I thought.
Royalty, mysteriousness, psychedelic. What's the way to say it? It's like psychedelia, being psychedelic, you know,
okay.
Thinking out of the box.
Okay.
Multiple things that are wrapped up in that one color right there.
Okay. I could totally see that in your personality, the creative side. It's kind of like the fire and ice. I think that really makes a great creative, and I see a lot of that in you. So share with the audience and with me a moment that really stuck with you when you were in school.
In school, I've had many moments that stuck with me, but one that has stuck with me definitely is when...
Because I'll give you an example.
What's up?
I'll give you an example. When I was in school, I would get bored a lot. I'm not going to lie. Like, right. When, you know, you've got, like, all your hormones going and all of this, and you're coming into your own. I think a lot of people come into their own when they're, like, in their teens and their high school years. You kind of think you know who you want to be. All and right. So you start thinking, like, oh, I don't need to take this class. I don't need to take that class. It's not who I am. Yeah. This doesn't allow me to be who I am. So my whole thing, like... I really found myself in my music classes because they allowed me to creatively kind of be more in my imagination. And it helped me to keep my grades up because it was like, okay, if you want to compete, you want to go on these field trips and things like that, that's what you have to do. You have to make sure you keep your grades up, you keep yourself together. So what were some of those things in school that helps you to stay encouraged with like, okay, figuring it all out?
I'll say art class was one. The good thing about it was that we were actually being graded on our artistic abilities. You know, we were recognized for our uniqueness, you know, how we could give our own impression on. We'll say there was one basic image that the class was instructed to, you know, replicate, you know, but then we would be recognized for our own uniqueness and our own flavor that we would give to these images rather than just copying something for what it is and just, you know, creating a exact duplicate. Right. Another class I would say would be sign.
Now, how did that stick with you creatively?
It stuck with me because it was actually, you know,
that concept of not recreating, but taking something and creating something new.
Like having a foundation and making your own thing. I mean, it stuck with me with, say, in regards to music. Like, say, for example, I could hear a genre or want to put together a composition that sounds like a certain genre. You know, I wouldn't replicate exactly what I would hear, you know, because in artistic world, that's kind of like ultimate disrespect to take someone else's exact whatever it is and you make the same thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with being inspired because, you know, that's how people create things, from inspiration, you know.
True.
But yeah, it has impacted me greatly because, you know, it was taught to me that it's okay to, you know, have inspiration and make your own thing from that. And, you know, right now in my life, you know, if I have an inspiration, you know, I say, I hear something, I think it sounds cool, you know, maybe that will inspire me to make something, but I will not copy what inspired me. Because it's kind of like plagiarism.
Right. So how do you feel about sampling? Now, I'm not setting you up, because sampling is cool, right? I mean, like, we hear inspiration from all types of different musics. You hear, I mean, who was famous for, like, the remix, right? If you think, like, Bad Boy Records, Diddy, that whole thing, taking old songs, giving a new spin to them, inspiring a whole new generation. But I feel what you're saying, because sometimes you don't want to limit your creativity creating the same exact record. But do you draw in from sampling, or do you just listen to it and then treat your creative process as something completely separate?
Actually, I never sample. I mean, I will listen to other people's music, and, you know, I will listen to that music because I believe that it has a great sound to it. When it comes to sampling that music, that's something I will not do. Deep inside me, I feel that if I was to sample someone's music, that I'm actually stealing their creation, you know, kind of like plagiarism. You know, when it comes to other people sampling music, I mean, if that's their thing, I can't really say anything about it. As long as credit is, as long as the person that originally made the composition is referenced and they're given credit,
right,
for what they created to, you know, lead forth to that, you know, recreation with the person sampling it, that's cool, you know. But you know, as long as credit is given, you know, it's cool. You can't just take someone's thing,
right? That'd be stealing,
just, you know,
like, not giving
take
them credit
for it. Yes,
it's like me going on your SoundCloud page and I'm like, oh, this is hot, and then, like, I literally
that.
Exactly,
yeah.
I just take it, and then, like, nobody, I don't give you your respect and credit as being the founder of that sound.
Yeah, that's, it's disrespectful. Actually,
there's ways to do it right, with to show respect to the artist, not just rob them of their individuality.
True.
And their voice. So what were some of the things that made you gravitate towards music? Because you already mentioned the art, so it's like, whoa, how did it, like, really mesh together and come to the next level for you?
Me, music and art, I never actually gravitated towards it. It's actually something I've always been in. My parents would always play music to me, you know, during my childhood. In high school, you know, I was raised about, you know, musical people. You know, we didn't really have, we had cell phones, you know, and pagers, but, you know, there wasn't, like, say, how can I say this? A lot of our time was actually used on developing ourselves, if not communicating, or, you know, using ways to communicate through music.
No, but I got you. I got you, because that's what happens when you're in the creative process. So a lot of it was just, like, inspiration, and you found that, and you pulled it from different places, different stages in your life, different people, what was going on, and it really started to kind of have its own voice musically as far as, like, what was happening.
Yeah, let me, like, refresh what I said. Yeah, my bad. I mean, for music, yeah, it didn't gravitate towards it, but it's always been in me. Say, like, you know, it's me being a black person, you know, music is part of my culture, you know, the ins and outs, you know, music was a way to convey messages, you know, to give information, or just, like, pay respect and just, you know, make people aware of things. For me, that's the way music has always been.
Do you consider yourself a storyteller, even as you're, like, producing? Because, like, for songwriters, it's all about the story, it's all about the lyrics, it's all about the connection verbally. But as a producer, for someone who's creating that sound, are you also trying to tell a story, like, you see in jazz or you see in other like older styles of music, like you saw in Miles Davis or John Coltrane. Even though your style is not jazz, it's more like EDM, more like dance. It's actually kind of like a fusion, which is really cool. But do you see yourself as a storyteller even as you're like starting to put those tracks together for your sound, whatever inspires you? Do you see yourself like, okay, today this is the mood, like by the beach, today this is the mood, we're like at a club, at a party, like what's that like?
I would say yes, I consider myself a storyteller. Usually my songs, if not all of them, there's a story behind it. The lyrics that I compose are always arranged with my compositions, you know, my beats, and they always lead to somewhere. It's usually not just, you know, rhyming about something random, but there's usually like a beginning and an end to where I'm trying to get to in regards to my songs.
I feel that. So what are some of your top three artists across genre? What are your top three artists when you're like, I need to get inspired, I need to get out there, I need to like let loose, what type of music do you want to hear? But who are the artists that produce that sound?
I'll say I want to like chillax, you know, ease on back, you know, this, you know, have a chill time at the moment. I listen to some Sade.
Okay.
You know, probably some Smooth Operator. Love the sound of her voice. I've always have been a fan of her. Besides that, George Clinton, you know, I've always been.
So we went from sensual to psychedelic. Okay. Right? I feel it. George right. Clinton. Okay.
Yeah, that funk right there. I've always been.
Explain, because you laid out Sade. Okay. I think people are more familiar with Sade. Some people might be more familiar with Sade than George Clinton. So what are some of the songs that people recognize from?
I mean, for sure. I mean, if you don't know who George Clinton is, there's more than a chance they've heard the,
right,
what's called the Atomic Dog song.
There you go.
You know, that's like one of the, that song, right, that track right there is like a trendsetter to funk music entirely.
Right.
You know? Besides that,
number three,
would be Morris Day.
Whoa.
He had this one song called 777-9311. I remember that song from when I was like maybe like 8 years old or something, you know, and I remember my bro always like singing that song around me as he's like, you know, maybe like, trying to flirt with, you know, local neighborhood girls, you know, like 777-9311. You know, the rest of the lyrics and all that. But yeah, those three artists right there, Sade, George Clinton, and Morris Day.
Okay. Yeah. I feel that. That's like very interesting. Sade is more like jazzy, soul, R&B, pop. And then you have George Clinton that's like funk pop, really, or like funk pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like Morris Day, which is like Prince. So it's kind of like R&B, hip-hop, funk, soul pop.
Yeah.
So it shows like you have a very like vast ear, a very open ear.
And you're seeing where that blue and
I do,
and
I
red
see,
and that making that purple, right?
I see it now. I'm starting to see it. I really feel it. Okay, so top three artists. Now, name your top three music genres, because we just went over the R&B, the funk, the hip-hop kind of. Like. It, so who are your top three music genres?
I'd say hip-hop, funk, and R&B music.
Okay, hip-hop, funk, and R&B. I feel that. So, interesting. Okay, yeah. Hip-hop, funk, and R&B. Because they all kind of like embody the Sade,
yeah,
the George Clinton, and the Morris Day.
Yeah.
It's like, it's actually so interesting too that you listed those three, because they kind of are like a fusion of modern day hip hop when you think about it.
True.
The production of it, the sound of it, and I don't think they really get as much credit unless people who really, really listen to music. But as a producer that you are, I'm not a producer, but you are, and it's interesting that your ear is open to hear those things, because mm-hmm. they do coincide
with
like
each other. Yeah.
They totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's really cool because you didn't name like, oh, I only listen to this sound, I only listen to that sound.
Mm-hmm.
Your ear is open to hear everything, so you can create your sound, which is kind of like the new wave of like hip hop fusion meets like kind of like dance, trance. I don't know. You guys have got to check out his music. Head over to a SoundCloud after the interview so you can hear more of what I'm talking about, because it's like very different. It has like a Euro kind of feel, meaning like if you listen to Euro dance, and meaning over in Europe, different sound like Germany, France, Berlin, England. If you listen to their hip hop sound, their techno, their electro, their trance, it's a different type of pulse, but it still moves you. I think he's on like this next wave of creativity. So make sure you check him out again at, what is it?
It is Serenade7.
Serenade7.
SoundCloud.com as well as Soundscape85 at Instagram.com.
Yes, and we'll get more into that again. But now we want to get more into the education side, because I know that you are currently studying. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your studies. Are you keeping it locked into what you're doing musically? You also mentioned that you like language and learning. So what are your studies focused on now? Because we already know that the music is there. So what else is there for you, Renee?
My studies basically have me focused on, just making a decent amount of cash in a work field, so I could,
major, minor.
I mean, classification, the college thing.
Yeah, what are you studying?
My major, I'm going for, majoring in education.
Which is very cool. Okay, majoring in education, minoring. Have you decided on a minor, or are you just like, my major is education,
I'm
good?
Education.
I think that's great. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very cool. Okay, so what made you choose education as your major and not music?
So you want to do double take right there. I chose education as a major because, when my folks came here in the 70s, one of the things that my pops instilled into me was that, education is very important, and it will actually, create your future, and you could, once you get the skills to, do whatever you could. Once you get the skills to
attain
to make
important.
Something of yourself, you could basically do anything with those skills right there. You could, change the world if you can. The reason I didn't choose to take on music as a major is because I felt that, music is not something that I could actually just, sit down in class, take a couple courses, and I know the foundations of music, obtain the information like that. I feel music has to be not just learn, but you need to feel
right.
Music, get a feel of the people that the music is coming from, as well as gain a knowledge of why certain musical genres sound a certain way, and what was going on at that time that actually led to that music to sound in that particular way. So a bit of life experience / educational experience thing when it comes to me, digesting music.
And I think that's really important too, because there are a lot of misconceptions that people have about musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is that, what I will say is they tend to overlook that musicians have a value for education.
Very true.
And I think that you have clearly laid it out. Education was something that you were taught. It was something that was valued in your family. It's something that you value. And you're like, I have the creative side. I'm good on that side. I want to enhance myself in other ways. And you see the value in that. And I think that's really cool, because that's a different side that's not always given as much glamour as it deserves, because it is. Being able to see things outside of yourself from a different perspective, and also be able to see things beyond your own voice outside of music, but also as an individual and how it ties into the overall culture, that definitely adds into it as well. And I think that you really eloquently pointed that out. So, yes, I totally agree. And for those of you who are listening, yes, we are in lovely Los Angeles, near sunny beaches of, I don't want to ruin it for you, but we'll post some pictures on our Instagram page, and make sure you check us out at Music Art Culture. You can look at Renee, this handsome young stallion here, and you can follow him as well, because we will make sure you have his social media information so you can reach out and keep up with him as well as he continues to shape and change the face of music in more than one way. We are keeping this interview going. We've come almost to a close, but we still got a lot more to talk about, so we'll keep it moving. And one of my favorite parts.
What's up?
three misconceptions that people have about musicians.
Well, definitely, okay, three misconceptions people have about musicians is that they are, you know, morons or nitwits.
Okay.
That's one. Number two is that
morons and nitwits,
unprofessional.
Okay, two, unprofessional.
And then number three would be is that we drink alcohol for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Number three.
That's number three.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one. And I think that's so true. A lot of people just like totally overthink the fact that because you are a musician, you are like very dysfunctional. Like they well, that's the perception, right? If you're a musician, you're a dysfunctional human being. And then if you are a musician, you're going to be broke and poor. If you're a musician, you're emotionally unstable.
Yes.
You have extreme addictive behaviors. These are really like myths. I think anyone can fall subject under some of those circumstances. And I think oftentimes it really gets handed off. The stigma of it all gets handed off to the creative people. And it's just so not true.
I mean, it's definitely not true. I mean, in order to get better at your craft, it would, you know, take focus, dedication. You actually would have to, you know, time manage, you know, and, you know, set not boundaries, but set expectations, you know, for yourself to actually improve in these areas that you're, you know, seeking to improve in.
Exactly.
You know, if you're all about the place, doing everything always, you know, if your focus is always elsewhere, you know, when would you be able to focus on yourself? That's why I say it.
That's true. You know what? I love that. You brought up a lot of great points and you totally explained it in a perfect way. So that's really a great, great truth. So I've got a few more questions. Now, as a creative, okay, as a creative, where do you find inspiration and how do you incorporate that into your sound? We talked a little bit about it, but this is more about you as a creative.
Right. Me personally, where I find inspiration is just through life in general. You know, being a black man in America, you know, I definitely don't get things handed to me. You know, I have to work for absolutely everything. One thing I have been taught, you know, is that, you know, life is a song. And, you know, instead of, say, like, you know, complaining about everything you may encounter, you could actually, you know, sing that song as you go through life. And that's what I chose to do.
And I think that's a great point, too, because especially, like, with the day and age, right, that we live in, everything is instant gratification.
Very true.
And we get that through our social media, and we get that in our real lives. We try and duplicate it in our real lives, the things that we see on our social media pages, that everybody is happy, or everybody is doing this, or everybody is doing that. And we don't get to explore the process that people go through before they take that perfect shot that shows, oh, wow, they made it, or oh, wow, they got that, or they got that. And then you start to feel like, oh, I'm behind, or I'm dragging, or let me show that, you know, I belong in this group, or, you know, we're still in this group, right? Because everything online is all about clusters and groups and friends and this and that.
I mean, if not that, I mean, like, what measure, I mean, I guess you would call it the iceberg theory, or like the iceberg concept, that, you know.
Explain.
What's, well, the iceberg is basically that when say, for example, you checking out like a, you know, iceberg just floating in the Atlantic. You know, you're checking out the maybe 20-30% above the surface, but then like the 70 is actually below. You know, and the 70, how to say, like in theory or like poetically, like the 70 that you don't see, you know, is underneath the surface.
It's right.
That process
under
and
the
all
water.
The things. Yes, that process and everything
not
that
exposed.
Had to be done in order to show that 30, which is above the surface. So like
floating,
say like
above.
The 70s, like, you know, hard work, determination, you know, perseverance, never giving up, you know, that's not seen. But then what's seen from the people is that 30, like, you know, maybe the person like having their shine or whatever,
right.
Their whatever image that might
the
be
aftermath.
Giving off to the public. And what people are seeing,
the perception.
Is a 30, but all the hard work is hard work and determination is
larger and weighs out
that people don't see.
Right. And that's a great point, the iceberg theory. It's like you only see the fragment of the accomplishment. You don't see all the work that's gone into it. You don't see what they're doing to maintain that. Mm. And to really see it, you see that it's a larger process. It's more vast than the actual image or moment that you're being able to take part in. True. You know, it's like the song, right? The song, your average song is what, like maybe 3 to 5 minutes?
3 minutes, you know, like composing, say like lyrics and the composition.
Right, which I think is everybody's thing.
Yeah, no one really sees the process,
the hours,
into
the days,
going into it to make the song sound good.
Let me take this out, take this in.
They could enjoy that, say, 3 minute song, you know, without having the experience, all that hard work to make it. Yeah.
So it's definitely a process, but really we're not ragging on social media. We're just talking about the essence of having an understanding that life is a process.
Definitely.
It's a beautiful process, and we don't want to take away from that process by shortchanging the process.
True.
To get to that next level of where you want to be, wherever you are, and whatever stage of that process, because everybody's process is different, but you never want to discourage yourself based on someone else's process. So I don't know, that's pretty cool, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, as a creative, what inspires you? So you summed it up. What inspires you is basically being able to see yourself and reflect what you see in a way that gives you identity, that separates you from everybody else. And that's, I think, what really makes a great artist. I think that's how you get, like, there's a difference why you remember certain names, certain artists over others, you know? Mm-hmm. They're the ones that branch out, and then they have longevity because they are consistently evolving and growing and allowing themselves to have that creative identity.
All right.
And not shortchanging the process by trying to sound and be like everybody else, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I guess for the ladies, it's like the Lemonade braids. When Beyonce dropped Lemonade, I don't know if you know, but okay, so you know how she has the French braids and they all go to the side?
All right.
And then all the ladies saw that and they're like, we gotta get the French braids that go to the side. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And then everybody gets the Lemonade braids and then it's like, oh, okay. So now it's like a whole movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which the Lemonade braids are actually pretty fly. I was thinking of getting some myself because, yeah, they're just super cute. So I think I might join that movement.
All right.
But anyway, moving on. So let's see. Before we wrap it up, what describes your creative sound? I've done a little describing on my own, but I want to hear it in your own words, and so do the listeners.
What describes my creative sounds? It's the first time I'm actually being asked that.
Beyond genre, what describes Renee's creative sound?
I would say that I'm trying my best to interpret the way I feel through sounds.
Interpreting the way you feel through sounds. Does that mean like drums? Does that mean horns? What sounds do you typically gravitate towards?
It's hard to say because I never quite use the same instruments all the time. You know, however
diversity.
I'm feeling at, just like I said before, however I'm saying it now.
It up.
However I'm feeling at that time and moment when I'm envisioning this track with these lyrics, I'm doing my best to make this song sound in this way, just to interpret my feelings, emotion at this time. When it comes to instruments, I'm not really picking and choosing. You know,
okay.
If I just feel instrument it should be in this track, you know, or this one shouldn't, I just simply won't put those instruments in the track, you know. I'll just try to vibe with my emotion.
Very cool. So what inspires you to keep going on this journey, creative journey?
What inspires me is that for me, music has never really been something that I just, like a hobby that I picked up and decided to start doing because I'm bored. You know, for me, it's always been, you know, part of my culture. It's like I was born around music, you know, and, you know,
it's ingrained in who you are.
Yes, it is. It's born in music, and, you know, I'm not just going to stop because, like, you know, like, I don't might lose interest. But, I mean, for me, it's just, I want to see that happening because, once again, music is who I am. It's my culture.
I feel that. It's like you can't deny who you are.
Definitely.
As far as expressionism, being able to have the mind of who you are. Nobody can take that from you. And if it's something that's ingrained in you and comes naturally, well, there you go.
Very true.
The heart of a true musician. And that's, I think, the core that people miss out on a lot.
Yeah.
They can never stop being creative.
True.
They may try to blend in, but
it's not going to work.
It's not. They'll never, it'll never, they can't do it. Yeah. They can't do it. It's not a natural thing for a musician, for a creative. So what are your long-term career goals?
Long-term career goals.
10-year plan. Three goals.
I mean, at the moment, I mean, I'm just focusing on
Or maybe just one. Long-term.
Just completing school. Besides that, just working on music. You know, just doing what I love.
And I like that. Simplified progress. It doesn't have to be complicated, people. You hear how you just said that? 10-year plan, finish school, continue music. Yes. Simplified progress. Everything else unfolds on its own.
Yeah.
So the next time someone asks you what your 10-year plan is, simplified progress. You right. figure out how you respond. You just heard Renee's response. And we've got one last question.
What's up?
My favorite question.
Go for it.
Okay. If you could be an animal, what animal would you be? And why?
Well, if I could be an animal, the animal I would choose to be would be a bat, because they could fly high in the sky and they could see with their ears.
Whoa. You are the first to say a bat, because they can fly high in the sky and they see with their
with
ears.
Their ears.
So bats are blind. Is that what you're saying?
By theory, yes, but I mean, all depends on someone's perceptions. I mean, the average person would say that, you know, only how you can see is with your eyes, but if you can tell where you're going or where you're headed by using, you know, another organ, say, for example, your ears, I mean, you're not blind necessarily. You're seeing in another way that's just not using the eyes.
Whoa. Boom. Mic drop. If he were an animal, he'd be a bat. So, question to the listeners, if you were an animal, what animal would you be and why? Think about that. Yes, think about that. And if you're brave enough, head over to our Twitter page at MACEF Public Arts and let us know what animal you would be and why. Thanks for checking out this interview with Renee, our guest host today for the blog Music Art Culture. This has been really cool, a lot of fun, and super exciting. I think I'm gonna go and research bats now. This is very interesting. I'm so excited. So, okay. We gotta let the people know one more time before we head out. How can they find you? How can they listen to you? Hear more of your music, your sound. They want to reach out. Where do they go?
Once again, they would go to serenade7 at soundcloud.com. And you can also reach me at soundscape85 at instagram.com.
Boom. You've had it. Thanks for listening to the blog Music Art Culture. I'm your host, Dominique. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Music Art Culture. And remember, you can subscribe to the podcast by searching the blog Music Art Culture. Make sure you subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And also, well, check out the link on our Instagram page at Music Art Culture, and it'll take you right there. Thanks for listening. Keep listening and keep watching. Bye-bye. Till cool. Next time. We're out.
All right.
Volunteering a few hours out of any month is a great way to take a break from work. Get involved in your local community by becoming an active participant in your neighborhood or neighboring cities. Who knows, you might start a new trend at the office. Caring is a thought that turns into an action. Connect with people by getting involved in the world around you. Make a difference. Be the difference.